The Lord placed it heavy on my heart to make this message because we live in a generation where the modern day church no longer trains disciples, but they are raising up a generation of milk babies. The Bible says that there are some who are on the milk and some who are on the meat. Those who are on the milk are unskillful in the word of God, but strong meat belongeth unto them who are full of age. And for by the reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What you need to understand is that in Ephesians chapter 6, this Bible is referenced as a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon. But many people in this generation do not see this, and they do not understand that from the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you engage in a battle for your very soul, for your eternal soul. The Bible tells us to be sober and vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means he roams to and fro on the earth looking for somebody who belongs to the Most High God, who is bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, and seeking whom he may devour, that he may make them fall, because he stands before our God day and night as the accuser of the brethren. Now, as we get into this, I want you to take a minute to pray for discernment. Seek the Lord's wisdom on the things that I'm about to tell you, because I want you to understand something here today that not a lot of people in the churches are talking about, and that is the fact that demons are real. A lot of people have been taken to this place where they think that the book of Revelation and all the things spoken in the Bible about demonic entities and spiritual wickedness and evil in the world are somehow a folklore or a fairy tale. But I want to paint a picture here to explain to you just how real the evil is that dwells on this earth. Now, the reason that I'm doing this is I want you to have a better understanding of what demons are, where they came from, and how they came to be on this earth. There's not a lot of discernment in this topic because many people in these church organizations refuse to talk about these topics because it makes them very uncomfortable as they do not understand these things. And again, my goal here is to train you how to walk as a disciple. Not to be a milk baby who's unskillful in the word, but if you are going to engage in battle, you need to understand that the spiritual warfare that is increasing in this generation all around your soul, you need to understand your enemy. Jesus said, and I've spoke about this so many times, he said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep amidst wolves. So be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." If you've never been involved in warfare in the physical realm, you need to understand that the first thing you do in war is you gather intel about your enemy. You want to know what your enemy is capable of, and that is the very thing that Jesus was instructing us to do, is to be wise as the serpent, but as harmless as the doves, saying that you should know your enemy. Now, when we go into Genesis chapter 6 here, I want to give you a vivid, detailed explanation of what the Bible says about how these demons came to pass. Starting in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now pay attention here. In verse 4 it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So what he's saying here is that there were entities on the earth. They were the sons of God. I want to give you a bit of a disclaimer here. I know a lot of people get upset when you mention the book of Enoch or the Apocrypha. I did some research on these things, and when I looked into the book of Enoch, I found out that this book was in the pre-King James Version Bible. I know there's a lot of controversy that surrounds this, but you have to do your own research. So I'm not trying to force anything on you that you don't want to hear. I'm just having a conversation with you so that you may have a better understanding about what the Word of God says. We know that the Bible says that Enoch was a real person. He was the seventh from Adam. And he was alive during the days of Noah. This is a real man who prophesied in the Bible, as we will read here in the book of Jude. So you have to pray for understanding. I want to let you know that I believe it's important that you study and do your own research so that you may have a better understanding of God's Word. I also found it very interesting that in the book of Enoch, in chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, the words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the day of tribulation when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. So what's interesting about chapter 1 and verse 1 of the book of Enoch is he's saying that these words that he has spoken are for the last generation who will be alive during the tribulation. And I found that very interesting given the fact that we see all of this doctrine about pre-tribulation rapture and how all of these people believe that they will not have to endure any trial for their faith. We know that Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In Matthew 24, he said he's coming to gather together his elect immediately after the tribulation of those days. So you must pray for discernment in these things and do your own research. I'm just here to share with you the things that I have found in hopes to give you a better understanding of God's Word. There are a lot of things in this book that are very interesting. They are astonishing when you look at what the Bible says and you cross-reference it with the book of Enoch. So you need to do your own research. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because I believe that when you see what I'm about to tell you, you're going to feel the same way that I felt when I first read these things. So pray for discernment. Don't get upset because I'm telling you these things. I'm just sharing with you what I have studied so that you may make your own assessment. I read in the book of Jude, in verse 14, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, after I read that scripture in the book of Jude that said Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, I was reading in the book of Enoch because I was trying to do as the Bible says, which is to prove all things, right? We should prove all these things. We should seek the Lord's wisdom and discernment on these things. But when I looked into this book of Enoch in chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, and behold, he cometh with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all flesh of all the works of their ungodliness which they have ungodly committed and of all the hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, when I saw that, I said, man, that's exactly what the Word of God said that Enoch prophesied. And then I went and read in chapter 1 of Enoch in verse 9, and it was verbatim, the prophecy of Enoch. You can say what you want to about your opinion about this book, but we know that this book was always a part of the Bible up until these councils and the Laodicean church decided that they were not going to put these in here. Now, when you think about what I just read there in Genesis chapter 6, it said the sons of God were attracted to the daughters of men, and they went in unto them, and they bore children with them, and they were giants in those days. They had children with the daughters of men, and these were entities. These were sons of God. And in the book of Enoch, it calls them watchers. It says that there were 200 of them that had came down on Mount Hermon. And it also goes on to say that all 200 of these watchers, they made a pact with each other that they would take wives from the daughters of men. Now, to me, what this does is it paints a more clear picture of what Genesis already tells us, that there were sons of God who took wives from the daughters of men. In Enoch, it says that these same entities, these watchers that were placed here by God, made a pact. And they all came together and said, we will all do this so no single one of us will be punished alone for this great sin. And when this happened, they began to teach the men on earth how to use the metals of the earth and make weapons and swords and breastplates so that they could fight and do evil. Some of these watchers or sons of God began to teach the women how to do enchantments and witchcraft and root cutting and all of these different things. And it says that whenever the archangels saw that evil had increased on the earth because they had began to consume flesh and blood, they were eating men and they were killing each other, and the evil was great on the earth, what did Genesis chapter 6 say? It said that God saw that there was evil on the face of the earth, and the hearts of men were only evil continually, and he repented that he had made man. And for this, God told Noah to hide himself and prepare for the end, which would be a great deluge or a flood that comes upon the earth. And he was called to build the ark. You can literally rightly divide the word of truth through these things. But for these sons of God or these watchers, they were condemned to eternal hellfire for what they had done. Now, as it says in the book of Enoch, that they had came to Enoch and made a petition and asked Enoch to go before the Lord because they were not allowed to even speak to God for what they had done. And when they made this petition, Enoch took it before the Lord, and God said, go back and tell them because of what they've done, they are going to be condemned to everlasting darkness, and on the day of judgment, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, here is the important part. This is the whole reason why I'm going through this, to help you to understand where these demons came from that now dwell on the earth. And it's in Enoch chapter 15, starting in verse 8, going through 11. It says, and now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. So that's telling us that they're going to have to live on this earth. And in verse 9, it says, evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies because they are born from men, and from the holy watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. You need to understand that you cannot do battle against an enemy that you do not believe exists. There are going to be people who come into the comments and say, oh, you're preaching a false message because I don't believe that the book of Enoch is here. It literally says the same thing that the Word of God says. It was literally in this book before these false teachers and these devils removed these texts, because they don't want you to understand that the prophecy of Enoch literally says it's for the last generation who will be alive during the tribulation. And it helps you to see that these demons that we wrestle against, right? The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. It tells us here that the spirits of these giants from the other side of the flood, because they were born of flesh, they will dwell on the earth. But the spirits of the sons of God, because they were born in heaven, their place will be in the heavens until the time of judgment. The Bible tells us that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are principalities that are above us. When these sons of God or watchers began to teach men how to do astrology and all of these things, to worship these false deities that try to be the god of men, that try to lead men astray, what do you think happened there? It's the same thing that we see manifesting on the earth today. What I'm trying to do here is to help you to understand that you have a real enemy here, that demons are real. Demons oppress and afflict and do battle, just as it says here in the book of Enoch, and they work destruction on the earth. It's important for you to understand that just because you go to an assembly and they do not teach you about these things, that you should turn a blind eye to the fact that they desire to have you so that they may sift you like wheat. I believe that they blame the sons of men because of what they're going to have to endure for eternal punishment and judgment. So their desire is to take as many of us as they can to the pit of hell with them. And it's literally all confirmed. Jesus told us, you better be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, he roams the earth. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He does not care who you are, as long as he can keep you away from the eternal promise of salvation, because he hates you. Because he knows that God loves you so much that Jesus came in the flesh, died on the cross, and rose on the third day so that you could receive eternal salvation through him. And Satan knows that he was defeated on that very cross that you and I have received salvation through. What I believe is that Satan has figured out through false doctrine, denominational divisions, and the tares that he's allowed to sow amongst the wheat, that he can get the majority of people to go to church organizations where they do not teach about demons, where they do not teach about spiritual warfare, where they don't teach that there is an enemy and an adversary. He wages a battle that rages for the souls of men. He makes war for your soul so that he may cause you to be cast alive with him in the lake of fire. These churches do not teach people about the real threat that Satan poses to the lives of all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. He desires to have you ignorant so that you would be tossed to and fro, as the Bible says, with every wind of doctrine. The enemy has generations of people in this hour thinking that the devil and demons are just a fairy tale and folklore, and they do not believe or understand that they are actively engaged in a battle every day that rages for their eternal soul. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today that if we don't wake up and understand why the Bible tells us that this word is a weapon, it is a sword. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit to the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have to realize that there is so much evil in this world, but for no marvel, Satan Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Look at what our culture has done. They make evil look good and good look evil. The Bible even talks about this. It says, "Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good." Since the time that you've grown up, it always looks cool to be bad, right? You want to be bad to the bone and all of these things that makes evil look good. It's cool to be bad, but that is what the enemy has desired to do, is to shift the minds and the hearts of men in this generation. As we approach the last days, the Bible tells us these things. It says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." It says, "Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The spirit of witchcraft is very real in our generation. There are people who worship the devil. You need to understand that they are more serious about this than the majority of the people who attend churches in this generation. They go and do ritual sacrifices and seances and defilement rituals, and they do all manner of evil so that they can draw nigh to the one who they serve, which is Satan himself. We have a generation of lukewarm Christians who don't understand the power of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord with all of their heart, denying their flesh and taking up their cross and studying this word to be approved before God, a workman, not needing to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth so that they may carry this sword with them in their heart. As the Bible says that we should let the word of God be a sign upon our hands and as frontlets between our eyes, and to write them on the doorpost of our house. We should have the scriptures written on the tables of our heart so that we may do battle against this enemy that desires to have your soul. The reason I'm telling you these things is because you're going to a place on Sunday that is afraid to tell you this because they don't want to scare you off. But what they are doing is they are deceiving you in this hour so that you don't even know how to put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against these principalities, the wiles of the devil, and what he desires to do in your life. It is a scary thing to be in the midst of a battle and not understand that you have an enemy that literally wants to kill you. That's why Jesus warned Peter. He said, "Peter, Satan desires to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. He wants to scatter you abroad. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So when thou art converted, go and strengthen your brethren. Go out to the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Go make disciples. Go train these people how to stand and wear the armor of God, to have the scriptures in their heart, and so that they may go and edify others." What are we doing in this generation when we're not teaching people how to be disciples, how to rightly divide the word of truth and use it as the weapon that it is? This is a battle for your soul. Spiritual warfare is increasing in this generation, and the majority of the people who claim to be members of the body of Christ have no idea that they're even engaged in a battle that rages for their soul. The Bible tells us that these evil spirits are on the earth. Jesus dealt with these demons that possessed men. He cast these demons out. Some of them went into the pigs and ran down the hill violently into the water and drowned so that their soul could be loosed from those vessels. They were afraid that Jesus was going to cast them into the pit before their time. When Jesus approached the man who was possessed with these demons, they said, "What hast thou to do with us, O Son of Man? Are you here to torment us before our time?" The Bible tells you over and over and over that men are oppressed, possessed, and afflicted with demons and spirits of infirmity. The Bible tells us these things, but somehow the modern day church doesn't believe that this is real. They don't believe that there are demons. Do you think that somehow something changed from the time that Jesus walked the earth and cast out these devils, that you no longer have to deal with these things or to deal aggressively with the very sin that allows these demons demons into your life, that means you have to be so careful. If you are going to be sober and vigilant, that means you need to always be on guard and be of a sound mind. You have to constantly remind yourself that this is war. This is spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you come into disagreement with somebody and it turns into strife, it genders strife and disagreement and arguments, and there's negativity, that is not of God. And it definitely doesn't come from the flesh. It is a spiritual contrast. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but it is the powers, the principalities, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness, these evil spirits that Enoch spoke of that are also referenced in the Word of God. They afflict and oppress and possess the flesh, the vessels of men. When you walk with the Holy Spirit of the living God and you come into contact with someone who has that spirit of Antichrist, who is oppressed and afflicted by these spirits, you look at them like, well, I don't like their attitude. Or maybe you say, well, they're a narcissist or they're a manipulator. Those people are just bad people. Do you not understand that those are the very people who walk oppressed with these things that need our prayer? That's why God warned us so many times that we must love our neighbor. To love your neighbor and love your enemy doesn't mean that you have to go and be best friends with them, but you should love them enough to pray that these demonic afflictions would leave their lives. We live in a generation where people think somehow that God's design is flawed. People that deal with schizophrenia and multiple personality disorder and bipolar disorder, they think that there's just some kind of a electronic signal that got off, and they run and they gobble up prescription pills that lowers their vibrational frequency so that they can no longer feel the oppression and the affliction that these demons bring upon their lives. When they truly need deliverance, they need to seek the Lord's will for their life. They need to repent of the very sins that allowed these things into their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a generation right now to where it is extremely difficult for a man or woman of God to be of a sound mind with all of the distractions that are out here. I've spoken about this. We have supercomputers in our pockets where you can pick these phones up and you can access the most evil with the press of a button. It is right here in our face. Do you think the people in the Depression struggled with lust and filth at the level that we do today with all of this technology? That's why the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant to his devices. Now, I'm not trying to say that you're evil for picking up a cell phone or using this technology. It is a tool. It can be used for evil, but it can also be used for good. You're obviously watching this podcast on a phone or a television using internet service or Wi-Fi or cell service. What I'm telling you is that you have to use it for the right reason and be careful, right? You must be sober and vigilant. Do not allow the enemy to have place in your life, because it is a slippery thing, because you can be on social media one minute watching somebody rightly divide the word of truth and bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can swipe up and see full-blown filth pornography right there in front of your face. Do you not understand that this was done by design? Satan knows that we are nearing that last season. We are in the last hours of the last days, and he is increasing this spiritual warfare, because the Bible says Satan will have great wrath because he knows that he hath but a short time. When we enter into that hour of revelation, the reason that I'm telling you these things is because you need to understand that you have an adversary. You have an enemy. He is very real, and his goal is to destroy you. He wants you separated from God, and the very thing that separates you from God is sin and iniquity. It is walking in the things that God says, do not do these things. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, yet you do not the things that I say? He said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Now, when we talk about witchcraft and the things of this world that desire to cast spells on you and curses on you. You need to understand that the Bible is very clear about how much power is in a spoken word. You need to understand that the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is so much power in a spoken word. And the Bible tells me in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Isn't it interesting how in witchcraft they cast a spell, but in life we learn to spell a word? When you talk about the power of the tongue and what the Bible says, how death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Jesus said that men shall be held to account thereof on the day of judgment for every idle word that is spoken. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. We need to understand that the Bible is warning us about what comes out of our mouth. Jesus said it's not that which goeth into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of the mouth. This defileth a man, because out of the heart proceeds evil, right? Murders and blasphemies and evil speakings and all of these different things that comes out of the heart, they proceed out of the mouth, because the Bible tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in James chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." We bless God and we curse men with the same mouth. Imagine what's happening there whenever you loose things on this earth against your neighbor, when you say you hate somebody or you're a busybody and you slander somebody and you cut somebody down and you use this mouth to gender strife, to talk bad about somebody. The Bible says what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, and what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And the Bible says also that the tongue is the most unruly member of the body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature. That means that it is a world of iniquity. That means that you should be so careful about the words that you speak. Do you realize that the Bible says that you should let no profane speech proceed out of your mouth? You should not be talking about these perverse things and all of these jestings and jokings about perversion. Why do you think they call it curse words? Because when you speak these curse words, you're bringing the curse into your life. You're bringing the perversion into your life when you speak these things, because you're loosing them on earth. Now, what you need to understand is that Satan does a lot of these things to defile the hearts and minds of men through television, through music, through social media. Just think about this for a second. What do you think happens when you're riding down the road and you're singing this song by somebody on the radio, and you're singing things like, "I'm on a highway to hell"? You're singing that AC/DC song. Or if you're singing your favorite Jelly Roll song and you're singing, "I am not okay," or "I only talk to God when I need a favor." You're a man or a woman of God, and you're using this mouth, which the Word of God tells you that death and life are in the power of your tongue. And when you speak things, you're going to be held to account on the day of judgment for speaking these things. And you're singing about how you're not okay. You're literally putting word curses over your life, because what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. Do you not understand that these people who have sold their souls to the devil, they openly admit it. They tell you in Hollywood and in all of these major mainstream music record labels that they have sold their soul. They sing about it openly. And here you are riding down the road, coming into agreement with this witchcraft, singing these word curses over your life. You need to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because these people, they have done this willingly and knowingly to deceive your soul so that you would bring this negative energy, this demonic oppression and affliction into your life and sing these things from your heart. Right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A lot of people might look at this and they say, man, I ain't got to worry about all that. Man, all I got to do is just love Jesus and I won't have to worry about that's all. You better read your Bible. It says you better put on the whole armor of God and names the individual pieces, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Let your feet be shod with the gospel of peace and your loins be girt about with truth. And you better have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the living word of God. All of these things that I'm telling you are not to condemn you. They are to help you to understand that demons are real. They walk amongst us. They are on this earth. The book of Enoch talks about it. The Bible talks about it. Jesus dealt with these things personally. He interacted with them and cast them out. The disciples went and cast these devils out. And you somehow don't believe that you have to deal with these things in your everyday life? They dwell amongst us. They walk the earth. They seek whom they may devour. Do you not understand that you have a Bible that is a guide? It is a weapon. It is an offensive weapon to show you how to fight against these things. Stop listening to these lukewarm preachers who tell you the things that make you feel good, that make you feel justified in your sin, but they do not teach you how to walk as a disciple. Do you not understand that these demons are trying to destroy your soul and separate you from God? And you're up here in a church singing this feel-good song, and you're like, oh, that was a good message this week, and they had real good coffee, and everything felt good. I just feel so good. And then you go out into the world, and you don't even understand that the reason you have these psychological problems, and you're dealing with bipolar disorder, and all of these different things, and the doctor's like, well, get you one of these pills here and take that and see if that don't make you feel better. Get you some Prozac and some Xanax and all of these other things. You are taking a man-made solution for a problem that only the Holy Spirit of the living God can fix. We have been deceived. That's why the Bible says in Revelation that by your sorceries have all nations been deceived. The word sorcery, when it is translated into Hebrew, means pharmakia. When you look on the side of an ambulance or a hospital and you see the staff with the serpent that is coiled around it, that is the symbol for sorcery. Why would they be using that on an ambulance or on a symbol for human medicine? The Bible tells me that by your sorceries, all nations have been deceived. What do we have, ladies and gentlemen? Pharmaceutical companies, where if you go with an ailment or a spirit of infirmity, understand this, that Jesus dealt with a woman who came having a spirit of infirmity. In Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 10, it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You need to understand that sometimes people have physical afflictions that are caused by demons. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe your Bible, because Jesus literally loosed a woman from the spirit of infirmity right here in Luke chapter 13 and told her that you are loosed from this spirit. And he laid hands on her and prayed over her. You need to understand that not everything that you deal with needs a pill to fix, because a lot of times when you take that pill, it masks the symptom and creates another problem. And the whole time that you're doing this, the demon is further destroying your soul. What you don't understand is that you are seeking a physical solution for a spiritual problem. These things that people deal with, we are told in the Bible that people dealt with spirits of of infirmity. They dealt with demonic affliction and possession and oppression. We've talked about this so many times, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm trying to tell you that the devil is real. Demons are real. There are principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. They taught people about astrology, how to do their horoscopes and follow these stars, because those are principalities. When you're looking for your astrology horoscope on what your sign is, and you're looking for your fortune and all of this, you're operating in a spirit of divination. This is witchcraft. Do you not understand that when you go get tarot card readings and palm readings, and you play with a Ouija board, and you burn sage in your house, and you have crystals, and you're doing all of these mixing with essential oils, and you're seeking the divination, the future, and all of these things for your soul, you're coming into agreement with demons. That's why these deities were teaching men on the earth how to do enchantments and all of these things, because they were corrupting their souls. The same thing is going on today. The same thing's happening in this generation. People are manifesting their destiny. They're saying, well, you can just speak things into existence. Do you not understand that when you do things outside of the will of God, you are allowing demons to come into your life? You're giving place to the devil because you are being disobedient to God's will for your life. The Bible says, whether you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You should acknowledge Him in all your ways so that He would direct your paths. Guys, I want you to understand something here. This is a moment in our lives. We were born for such a time as this. If we're not out here training disciples, raising up disciples for Jesus Christ, there are going to be many souls that are falling to the wayside, that are going to fall into the pit because they didn't have somebody to tell them the truth. This is not about playing church anymore. This is about saving the souls of men, of living a lifestyle of righteousness so that you can go forward and bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. I want you to study on these things. I want you to pray for discernment on these things. Be careful about the songs that you listen to, about the television shows that you watch and allow into your homes, into your eyes, into your ears, the things that you say out loud, that death and life are in the power of your tongue. And if you go out cutting down your brother, cursing men and blessing God, you have a contrast there that is going to be the very thing that separates you from God on the day of judgment. It's so important for us to understand that we must walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. Your vocation is to be a man or a woman of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to exemplify those fruits. When you speak curse words out of your mouth, you're bringing the curse into your life. When you sing these songs that are filled with witchcraft, and you speak these things over your life, and you sing about all manner of evil, it's in country music, it's in rap music, it's in rock music, it's been all throughout generations, people singing while they're riding down the road, I'm running with the devil, and I feel a sin coming on, and all of this iniquity. Do you not realize that you are opening a door spiritually, and you are letting these evil spirits that walk amongst us, they roam the earth, they desire to destroy your soul, you're giving them place in your life. God has set His hedge of protection around you. We are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But you must be vigilant. The Bible says that you must be steadfast and unmovable in your faith. When you see the devil coming, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You need to understand what his devices are, the temptation that he brings. If you think, well, it's okay, it's just a song, it's just a TV show, I can sing that song, I still love Jesus, you're playing a dangerous game. You're playing a very dangerous game because you are doing damage to God's hedge of protection. You're doing damage to the very pieces of armor that you're asking Him to help you suit up with. And you are allowing these demons to have place in your life. And where you give the devil place, he has a legal right to dwell there. That's why the Bible says that we should be slow to speak, swift to listen, and slow to wrath. Guys, it's one of the hardest things you're ever going to do to understand how to bridle the tongue, right? If the Bible tells us that it's the most unruly member of the body and it sets on fire the course of nature, it's not going to be an easy thing to get into subjection. That's why the Bible warns us that we should cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself to God and take into captivity every thought and bring it into subjection to Jesus Christ. Because I've talked about this, but when the enemy brings a thought into your mind, it becomes a lustful thing if it's not of God. Lust comes in many forms. Most of the time, it's sexual iniquity because we're creatures that were made in this form. And we see all throughout the Bible that lust was a very dangerous sin. It still is today. But if we stop the enemy at the gates, God understands that you're going to have the thought. It's going to come into your mind because I've spoken on this. The mind is a wandering thing, but you have to be in the mindset of sober and vigilant, right? That's not of God. That's not a thought of God. I need to get that out of my mind right now because I understand what Jesus said when he said, "Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." When you allow that thought to make it from your head to your heart, that's where it becomes sin because you dwell on these things and you give it place in your life. Pray and ask the Lord to help you keep your tongue in subjection. Pray that the Lord would give you conviction about the words that you speak, about allowing these curse words, this profanity, these things to proceed out of your mouth. And if you see somebody who's doing these things, you need to walk in boldness and say, listen, you need to be careful about what you speak because that is a word. That is a curse word. That is something that can bring a curse upon your life. Jesus warned us that you're going to be held to account on the day of judgment for these idle words. That's a very scary thing for me. And when I say scary, I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. We are called to a higher standard. Just because it's easy to do doesn't mean that you should do it. The Bible says that bitter and sweet water cannot proceed forth from the same fountain. You need to understand that you can't be over here blessing God one minute and then cursing your neighbor another. That is going to be the thing that separates you from God. We need to bridle the tongue. As James said, if any man seems to be religious and he doesn't bridle his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. Can you imagine that you go through this life trying to serve the Lord and seek God with your whole heart, and then all of a sudden you get to the gates of heaven and he's like, look, you got problems. You brought all of this sin and iniquity. Your tongue set on fire the course of nature. You cursed all of these people your whole life, and then somehow you came and blessed me. I'm not going to let this stand in my kingdom. I hate it for you. You tried. But your iniquity outweighed what you desired to do in your life. You chose to be a servant of sin rather than a servant of the Lord. That's why he said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name and done many great works and cast out devils? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. Do you not understand that he said you must deny yourself? If you come after Jesus, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. We're going to fall short. We're going to make mistakes, but don't use your freedom as an occasion to stumble. Be so careful about the things that you speak on this earth, the things that you speak over your life. If you're going to walk with God, you have no business speaking profanity and perversion. Be careful about this. The Lord put conviction on my heart because I'm going to tell you something. I'm like Paul, of the sinners, I am chief. I used to be the best at using foul language. Man, I was like a professional at it. And I had conviction on my heart. And I know we all make mistakes and we say things that we shouldn't, but we need to be slow to speak, swift to listen, and slow to wrath. Don't allow the enemy to have place in your life in these things, because they could be the very things that are going to cause you problems at the gates of heaven. Guys, when we look at what's going on in this world and we see all the things that are coming to pass in this generation, I know there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening on a world scale with wars and rumors of wars. I know I talk a lot about these things, but I wanted to go into this episode with a spiritual warfare mindset to help you to understand that you have an enemy that is very real. He is very serious about destroying your soul and separating you from God. He does not rest. He does not sleep. And there are legions of these evil spirits that dwell among us on this earth, and they walk in people. You need to understand that. They walked in people in the Bible. They walk in people in our generation. When we see somebody who is behaving in a way that is becoming of a demon, it is because that is what they are possessed with. When you see these characteristics that are not of God in people, you will know them by their fruits. Take heed that no man deceive you by any means. You need to understand that these things are happening every day around you. You must walk with the Spirit of truth. Pray that the Lord would give you eyes to see, ears to hear. Walk with discernment. I'm telling you these things today, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to be a disciple. I want you to be a good soldier of Christ. I want to take a minute to pray for you here in just a second for this discernment to help you to put on the full armor of God. Guys, we don't know the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father only. But man, I can see signs all around us. We see this system rising up, and these people are frantically trying to put in place this order, this new order, and they're appointing the board of peace. I'm going to be talking about this in next week's episode of how these things are coming to pass, but we're seeing all of these signs. God is waking His people up. He's calling out to them, but we must edify one another with these words. We must pray for each other and help each other to see the truth. Help each other to understand that this word was written so that you could read it, so that you could study it and be edified, to help you to know that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you haven't got a chance yet, go check out our website. I know I say this every time, but we got new subscribers every week. It's TylerWoodEncounter.com, www.TylerWoodEncounter.com. We have these t-shirts on there. I didn't just want to make merchandise to sell you, although it does help what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter. I also wanted to create something that would help you to walk in boldness. We are called to be witnesses and fishers of men and beacons of light. When you wear these shirts, they have the living word of God written on them. You're going to go out in public and somebody is going to read your shirt, and maybe it's the first time they have an opportunity to read the living word of God, and it could be a witness to them. It's going to help you to be more bold in your faith, because it's going to open the door for you to have those conversations about the word of God, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to give a huge thank you to everybody that's went and got these shirts. Also, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcast or any of these other platforms, I want you to know that there is a 4K full production video available if you'd rather see this podcast in video. It's available on YouTube and Spotify right now. We're looking into changing our our RSS feed platform over so that we can also put this 4K video on Apple Podcast. But I just wanted to let you know, if you didn't know, there is a video version available for this podcast on YouTube and Spotify. I appreciate you guys so much for your love and support. I want to go to prayer for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus tonight to thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word, your words of wisdom, for understanding that all the people who may hear these things would be edified and be able to prepare themselves in the days ahead and put on the whole armor of your might, Lord, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, I pray for those who can hear my voice and those who cannot, Lord, that you would give them a touch of heaven and fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Send them forth as laborers into the harvest. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear. In this generation, bless them with the gift of discernment, Lord, so that they may be able to see clearly that their adversary walks among us, that these evil spirits are all around us, Lord, and I pray that you would give us your hedge of protection from these things so that we may see them coming from afar, that we would not give place to the enemy, but that we would resist the devil so that he would flee from us, Lord. Strengthen us in this moment. Strengthen our anointing and our calling and reveal to us the gifts that you have called us to walk in, the plans and the purpose for our life, to give us that expected in that you have declared over our lives, Lord. Bless us with your words, your wisdom, your knowledge, discernment, understanding. Lord, strengthen our faith and our patience and your grace in our lives, and let us walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called, so that we may be found pleasing in your sight, that we may be found faithful on the day of judgment, that we would hear those words that we have longed to hear for our whole lives. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Father, we thank you with all of our heart, and I pray for all those out there who are oppressed and afflicted and tried by these demons, Lord, that are tempted by these devils, these evil spirits that walk amongst us. Lord, I pray that you would help these people to come out from among these things and stand in your light. We love you tonight, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to make intercession for these people who are afflicted and oppressed, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we love you with all of our heart. And we say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God, who is and was and is to come. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we praise, honor, and worship you. Amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Pray on these things. Seek the Lord's wisdom from his word. Do not take it for granted, the things that I have said to you tonight, because it was so heavy on my heart to share with you the truth in these things, these matters that we talk about. The Bible says that we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ, and no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. We must walk ready with sober minds, vigilant, steadfast, and unmovable in the faith. Be always ready to give answer to those who ask about the hope that is inside you, that joy that you carry, so that you may be a witness and a beacon of light and a fisher of men, and walk as a disciple so that you may bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. This has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. God bless y'all. I love y'all. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.